Hello and welcome to the College Football Preview Show presented by the Sportscast. This is your host, Garrett Franks. Today is August 24th, the year of our Lord, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to all of our channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch TV, Apple Podcasts. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It'll help us tremendously. You can also listen to us through your smart speaker. Visit us on sportscastnet.sportscast.net. Also, follow us on Twitter at the Sportscast1. Check out our app at Sportscast on the iOS App Store. Today we have, obviously, our college football breakdown. I'm Garrett Franks, joined by Tyler Turner, Ryan Cristera, Alan West, Christopher Carvera. Chris comes from, he's a writer for the West Coast College Football and co-host for the Southern Gentleman Show on The Ticket 850. How are you doing, man?
Doing good, guys. Glad to be here. How are y'all doing?
Doing well. Also with Tyler Turner, a Sportscast contributor, mostly covers the Pac-12 and the Big Ten college football for us. How are you doing, Tyler?
Doing great, guys.
Awesome. Ryan Cristera, Sportscast contributor and host of Hoops Talk. How are you doing, Ryan?
Good. How are you, everybody?
Great, great. And then, obviously, last but not least, Alan West, another Sportscast contributor. How are you doing, man?
Good. How's it going, guys?
It's going well. And let's get right into it, obviously, with the SEC. I mean, it's hard to avoid the SEC when we talk about college football. Obviously, it's what it's kind of live and breathes in the South. So let's start with the Georgia. Obviously, the SEC, kind of me and Ryan, that's our area of critique. It looks like Ryan may have just dipped out a bit, but obviously the SEC looks to continue a dominance, obviously winning last year's and the years before that with Alabama and Georgia, respectively. I think it comes down to more so a question of who is it besides Alabama and Georgia? And I don't know if that really is an answer that I don't think we can really answer that without talking about a team like Kentucky, teams like possibly Tennessee, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, what kind of open the floor up to debate here. Who do we see competing against Alabama and Georgia this upcoming season?
Nobody. just to be frank, I do my team talent formula. You can check it out on the sportscast.net. I just think there's a pretty big talent divide between even in the SEC. I mean, you have a team like Texas A&M that obviously recruited very well last year, but the problem is most of their talent is young and freshmen, and it takes a year or two to really develop to play at that elite level. And teams like LSU, they just still have too many holes. Tennessee has some good pieces, but I just don't think holistically they have a roster that can compete with those two. I honestly, and I'll get into it later, I do think Alabama's I would be very surprised if anyone else wins the SEC this specific year because of the elite talent at quarterback and Bryce Young, the elite receiving core, obviously the dominant offensive line, the great running back. You have the best defensive player in college football in Will Anderson. You have a couple of the best defensive backs and guys like Jordan Battle. I don't know. I have a hard time like really seeing anyone else being that competitive with Alabama. And that's even including Georgia. I just think Georgia has, while they have a lot of talent, they always reload. I think they you don't lose seven guys in the first three rounds of the NFL draft and compete at that same level. I think Stenson Bennett is who he is. I think he's a marginal quarterback who plays with a great team. And they lost three great wide receivers. Well, actually, two great wide receivers, and the other best returning wide receiver is out for the first half of the season. And they still have some great players. They have a great tight end group, but I think Alabama is definitely the cream in the SEC once again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of hard to argue there with Alabama being one of the tops, but I will push back a little. I do think there is a team that we have. You didn't mention, neither did I mention, but it's Arkansas. I think Arkansas is in a really nice spot right now. I'm not saying they're going to win the SEC, you know, win a championship. I don't think Sam Pittman will be hosting the College Football Playoff Championship Trophy in Inglewood this upcoming winter, but I do think they have a chance. Alabama usually averages one loss a year, so every time I do a prediction for Alabama, whether they win a championship or not, I always have them losing at least one game a year. And Arkansas this year is the team I think they lose to. KJ Jefferson coming back is one of my favorite quarterbacks in the SEC. He's that big prototype model that beats Alabama, can move around well, has a big arm. They have some good returning players. They always have a good offensive line. So that's what I would personally say. But I do want to touch on the Stetson Bennett comment you did say. Expand a little bit more what you think about Stetson Bennett, because I even said this offseason, I was like, I don't see Georgia winning a championship considering they have Stetson Bennett at quarterback, but obviously they just did it and tore up a pretty decent Alabama defense while doing it.
So what is your question specifically?
So what's the doubt in Stetson Bennett?
He's a solid quarterback, but I mean, last year's Georgia team quite possibly is the most talented defensive group in modern college football. I mean, you had four guys go in the first round. You had guys like N'Kobe Dean and Channing Tisdale. I mean, and then I'm not, you had, of course, the Jordan Davis. And it was just it's just ridiculously talented. And you guys, Nolan Smith's coming back. You have Jalen Carter coming back. You have Kaylee Ringo. I think when all said and done, that whole group, the starting group, will have guys like six or seven guys that win in the first round in the 2 years of the draft. As long as he has the quarterback that is just not a complete dud, it's just hard to lose. And they even lost. They lost to Alabama in the SEC championship. He's a good quarterback. He's a solid quarterback. But if he had to play, let's put Stetson Bennett on Arkansas. Let's put Stetson Bennett on Auburn. I think he is one of the lower tier quarterbacks in the SEC. I just think he's a solid game manager quarterback. He has a great offensive line. He has guys like Brock Bowers, Washington, and now he has Eric Gilbert. So he has talented players around him. But if you lose a little bit of talent on that defensive side of the unit, they did lose some good receivers in Jordan Pickens and Burton to Alabama. Anaya Smith is out early. You need him to play a little better. I think that first game of the season against some of my Ducks, I think it's going to be a little sneakier than people think. I think it's going to be a little the defensive coordinator might have headed to that team. I don't know. So.
Well, I'm interested, Ryan. I'm curious what you have to say about that.
No, I agree. Georgia has an enormous amount of talent on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, like having players like Javon Carter coming back, you know, doesn't hurt, you know, but I think defensively, but not much. Yeah, Stetson Bennett, I mean, he's perfect for Georgia. You know, he's a system quarterback. He can, you know, he's not going to hurt you. But yeah, if he's on another team, he's definitely a lower tier quarterback. He was a walk on, you know, he doesn't have a big arm. Who can challenge Alabama and you know, Georgia, you know, in the West? I think a team that go, you know, obviously you're going to talk to A&M because they recruit really well. Team to hit the transfer portal hard, and that's Ole Miss. They brought in Jackson Dart, Zach Evans. I mean, that guy was one of the best running backs in ECU. You know, I could see them, you know, maybe not, you know, championship, but, you know, upsetting, you know, a team or two. And then on the East, you know, I go with my heart and the Gators, but, you know, by realistically, but I mean, everybody's kind of talking Kentucky, but I just don't see it. You know, I think, you know, I'm not a big Rich Santello fan, you know, being a Broncos fan, you know, I don't love his offensive mind, you know. And then losing Wendell Robbins, and then losing Chris Rodriguez for four games. I mean, one of those is a trip to Florida, and that hurt them. You know, so I'm thinking, you know, this could open up, you know, a team like to be the second team in East. I think it's all lining up still for Georgia and Alabama to play in, you know, in the first weekend. But, you know, it's really seeing who is that second tier team in each of those divisions. No, that's.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I think South Carolina is a team that could make some waves. I actually have them beating Georgia this upcoming season. I'm a big Shane Beamer guy. I think Spencer Rattler is actually, I mean, if there's some comeback player of the year award in the SEC, mm-hmm. I think Spencer Rattler would be number one for me right there. I think he's going to kill it. Obviously bringing over his tight end from Oklahoma. They have some good weapons on the running backs. Receivers have some decent weapons returning. But, yeah, I think Tennessee's another team that's incredibly interesting considering all the turmoil they've been going through. Chris, kind of interested to hear your thoughts, though. Where do you kind of see the SEC shaking up outside of, obviously, Alabama and Georgia.
Well, I mean, to your point about Arkansas, this is a year where I think behind Alabama, the West is you know, poised for a new second place team. You know, LSU still has a lot to figure out. Ryan mentioned Ole Miss. I think that, you know, they are a sexy pick, but until they perform consistently against the big dogs in that conference, I don't know if I can take them seriously. So Arkansas has made a, you know, really great amount of progress under Sam Pittman. So, you know, as far as how things shake out behind, you know, Georgia and Alabama, I think that they're just as good a chance as anybody. The East is a little murkier. You know, I still think that Florida has a long way to go. I'm interested to see how they look in that week one matchup against Utah. But, you know, behind Georgia and Alabama, man, I don't really – nothing really jumps out at me as having that second or third tier dominant team like we've been accustomed in the past.
Absolutely. That's one thing I think has been – that's really interesting about the SEC this year is kind of like we have one and two kind of figured out, but – you know, 3 through 14 might be a little bit more fun than most people are expecting. You know, I think it's hard to talk about the SEC without talking about Auburn. Obviously, they've kind of went through a tumultuous offseason. We won't get to the details about all of what happened, but we know things aren't going great down to the Plains. There's been reports now that Zach Calzada hasn't really impressed, so they might actually have to go TJ Finley. Obviously, I don't think anyone's predicting Auburn to go all the way and win the SEC and pull some 2013 miraculous season, but where do we kind of see this Auburn Tigers team going this upcoming season?
Not very far. You know, I think you hit it on the head. Auburn recruiting well, not much momentum in the state, you know, recruiting. Time your coaches, you know, dangle it out, you know, other coaches are going to use that as when it comes to recruiting. But what's on the roster right now, like you said, Zach Calzada not doing well. And TJ, you know, it's not a great look. I don't think they're, you know, Auburn would do fine, but, you know, in the SEC West, where each game is murder row, you know, it's tough to think that the team is going to be bowl eligible, but that will probably be the end for Brian Harsin if that's true.
So kind of piggybacking off that, when kind of, you know, we talk about surprise teams, obviously some people may go spicy, choose Auburn. I don't see it. But in terms of the SEC, are there any players you think right now aren't really household names that by the end of the season, everyone's going to know their name?
Will Rogers. He's, you know, I think what he does, he's perfect for Mike Leach's win. Yeah, and that kind of challenge Alabama. It won't be Alabama, but I think he's getting more and more comfortable. You know, the guy went through for 5,000 yards. And I think that's a guy, you know, I think perfect going to become more of a person that ESPN and other media will kind of provide.
Yeah, absolutely. I could see that. I kind of showed my card early with the quarterback from South Carolina. And yeah, right. So Spencer Rattler, as I was losing my train of thought there. But yeah, but when we were wrapping up the SEC, I assume we kind of have our 1-2 pick. Who do you kind of see hosting the SEC championship trophy December 11th?
As long as Bryce Young's healthy, you're not out. Alabama. I mean, just like offense, best player on defense. So I mean, if all things are, you know, it's got to be Alabama's got to be the favorite, and you know, somebody's got to be out there and go out there and beat them. They're not going to beat themselves.
Absolutely. I will say, as someone who's grown up in the state of Alabama, I have seen Alabama beat themselves. They do it every now and then, but when it does, it's usually something spectacular like a kick six and all that. Anyway, yeah. Going on now to the Big Ten, that's where we kind of tie. We'll be welcome back. And then Alan West, obviously, these are our Big Ten correspondents. What are your thoughts in the Big Ten? Where would you kind of say, okay, here's the favorites, here's teams that were going to be surprising, disappointing? Where do you think the Big Ten kind of shakes out?
You go first, Alan.
All right. Well, I would say that Ohio State and it's definitely going to be the top team just because of how stacked they are right now. I mean, sure, Michigan is the champion this year, but they lost some of their offensive weapons. And even though for Ohio State we did lose two wide receivers and some of our defensive players, watching Jaxon Smith-Njigba last year in the bowl game for Iowa against Utah when he got over 347 yards, I'd like to think that we're going to do pretty good. I'm wondering if Iowa's going to be a sleeper pick this year. The one school that I'm not really thinking is going to do very well this year, unfortunately, is Nebraska, because Scott Frost, he has had many chances to do well, and it seems like every time there, all he's done is either put his foot in his mouth or just laid eggs on offense, because you've been watching his quarterbacks have been hitting the transfer portal. And most players, I don't know if you saw the article this week or the comment he made this week for his offensive line, where he said, yeah, they puked 15 times during camp. Or it's like, why would you want to admit something like that? I mean, I'd say that for the bottom of the Big Ten, what you're looking at, probably Rutgers, probably Nebraska, and I don't know, maybe Tyler, I think you're probably going to say something about Michigan State and Penn State. So where do you put them?
Well, I'll kick back a little bit. I think a blind man that can't see could look at Ohio State's roster and would agree. I have a hard time seeing anyone that can really compete with them. The best quarterback in the Big Ten in a guy like C.J. Stroud, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Emeka Adoku, Marvin Harrison Jr., Trayvon Henderson's probably the best running back in college football. And then the defense, it was maligned last year. They got the defensive coordinator, Knowles, from Oklahoma State. I think they have the talent. Guys like JT Tumalau, Jack Sawyer, they got guys that Tyreek Smith. They have guys that are 4 or 5 stars that could really turn the defense around. So I don't really have anyone competing with them. But I actually, in my predictions, I'm going to be putting it on the sportscast.net. I have them playing against Nebraska for the Big Ten championship.
Really?
And this is where I'm going to kick back. So Nebraska was the best 9-3. Sorry, 9-3. They were 3-9 last year, but they almost won. But they almost won. They barely lost to Oklahoma, barely lost to Ohio State. Casey Thompson was a very good quarterback for Texas. He was a solid quarterback. They have some pieces. They have a good running back and a guy like Cedric Irving. They have more talent than pretty much anyone else in that Big Ten West. I think they get over the hump this year. I think they upset Wisconsin. I think they beat Iowa. I think they beat Minnesota. I think they get their butt kicked by Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. But I do think that Scott Frost's team that has been better than its record, that has not been able to close out, I think they take the extra step with some of the maturity that they have, with a solid quarterback, and I think that they're able to actually win the Big Ten West this year. That's my bold prediction. Obviously, you're not in agreement because you have him getting fired. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see who's right. We'll take notes. We'll check this one.
Well, I'm really interested to hear, because we obviously have a Nebraska truther here and someone who's probably a little bit more realistic about Nebraska. Where do we see the state of a Nebraska job? Let's just say Scott Frost pulls another 4-8, 3-9 season. How sexy of a job is this? Is this something where, you know, they're an old great that isn't the same ever, or are they a team that's, you know, that is just kind of like a sleeping giant, kind of how Bama became back in the 90s to the early 2000s?
I personally don't see them in the level of Alabama, because they just do not have the recruiting footprint. In a period where the recruiting footprint is very important in being able to establish a good team that can win on a regular basis, Nebraska doesn't have that. It has beautiful cornfields, but that unfortunately is not a great recruiting for college football. I think it still is a solid job. Nebraska, if you look at just the baseline metrics of talent, usually still comes in with the most talented or second most talented roster on paper in the Big Ten West. Obviously, the Big Ten might be changing here in a couple of years. You're going to be adding USC, UCLA, Oregon. And so then there's going to be more talented Washington, yes, UW. I agree. Stanford, probably Cal or someone or some other lame duck school that they want to kill. But I think Nebraska's goal is a job that still will be solid. It's going to be in the Big Ten, which is going to be the best conference in college football. Sorry, ooh. SEC. No.
Bold of you to assume.
But I don't think that it's going to compete with an Ohio State. I don't think it will compete with a USC. I don't think it will even compete with like an Oregon. So your question, who would they get? I don't know. And that's why Scott Frost would have to not make a bowl to get fired. Because they're probably going to – that job would be attractive. Maybe a Matt Campbell if you're lucky. Maybe Brett Bielema decides to move to a better Big Ten job. But I don't think you're going to have Lincoln Riley. Well, he's probably definitely not now. But I don't think you'll get one of the top-tier coaches, in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you whatsoever. But looking at these East schools, I'm curious to hear. We've obviously kind of established we think that Ohio State's going to finish number one there, probably win the Big Ten, which I don't think is too off far base. But that's still a strong division. You got Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State. Where do we kind of see it shaking out behind Ohio State?
I would say probably the, like you said, the big fight's going to be between Michigan, Michigan State, and Penn State. The matchup between Michigan and Michigan State is probably going to be the first shoe that's going to drop to show the rankings, because that game always is a bloodbath. Usually whoever wins that game, even though Michigan usually contends with Ohio State for the Big Ten championship, that's the first game that will show them where the rankings are going to be. That then when Ohio State plays Penn State, between those two games, those are going to be the games that are going to kind of set up how it's going to be for that division this year, just in my opinion. What do you think, Tyler?
So say that again.
Do you think that the Michigan and Michigan State game and Ohio State and Penn State are probably going to be the two games that kind of set up how the ranking for the division is going to be?
Well, I have Ohio State winning the – so I am going to put my prediction up here probably in the next couple of days. I have Ohio State winning the conference by a couple games. I do have Michigan second, Penn State third, and Michigan State fourth. I just think there's a – from my perspective, there's a pretty big divide this year. I know Ohio State didn't win it last year, but they really had that dynamics on defense where they put a guy that should not have been defensive coordinator. They had to fire him midseason, and they never really caught back up on the defensive side of the ball. I just think they have it together with a guy like Jim Knowles this year, and it was a beautiful story. Michigan finally wins the Big Ten, finally makes the college football playoff. It is. It's not. It's just not. I don't think it's going to happen again. I think there's too much of a talent difference. I think this is Ohio State's year. I mean, I could be wrong, but I'd be shocked. I'm just shocked.
So I'm kind of curious to expand on something you said. You mentioned Penn State finishing fourth out of that tier of teams. Obviously, they just extended third. They obviously extended James Franklin this for the next foreseeable future. He's going to be at Penn State after kind of, you know, hearing some rumors of him maybe going out west to coach for USC. Where do we see this Penn State program right now? Because it seems like a team that's probably a year away with considering how good they've been recruiting, getting Drew Aller. Where do we see this Penn State team looking in a few years?
You asking me?
Yeah.
He's a good recruiter, Franklin, but the last 2 years I've been very unimpressed with Penn State. The COVID year, it was tough for everyone. So, you know, the season got canceled. You had a guy like Micah Parsons, one of the best players in college football, sit out. So the 4-5, the 0-5 start, we can forgive it. But last year, they just melted down after what's their quarterback again? He's been there for like 5 years. What's the quarterback for Penn State? Anyone got it?
No. Oh, blanking on now. Clifford. Sean Clifford, there we go.
Sean Clifford, yeah.
Yeah, just sixth year.
7 year, yeah.
Get his PhD, man. Might as well.
Drew Allaire is like, leave. I don't know. They have recruited well. He has a top 15 roster if you look at the baseline talent. But I don't know. It's a good question. If a guy like Drew Allaire comes in and maybe plays and ends up playing at a high level, they could be a team. Like, I have them going 9-3, but I'm not. That's not something that I can put my my fist down and say they're going to be 9-3. I wouldn't be shocked if they're 7-5 again. It's a good question. He recruits well, but the last couple of years, the results have not been there. He's also not played very good the last few years against Michigan and Ohio State. So, that's a good question. I'm curious to see how Penn State is this year. They have the talent, but are they going to be better than the last 2 years? Is a couple little obstacles like, you have your quarterback go down, but the drop-off was just so substantial. And then they lost to some teams like Illinois that they just should not be losing to with the talent they have in their roster. So that's a good question. They're a team that if they all of a sudden come up 6-6 or 7-5 this year, you just gave him that long-term contract. He recruits well, but I'd like to see him be better on a consistent basis, especially against the Ohio States and the Michigans.
Absolutely. Alan, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, one thing I'm wondering is I know that Dotson got drafted by the Commanders, and he was their big play wide receiver for the most part. I'm wondering who they're going to have step up, if not only for that, because if you don't have even a good slot receiver, not even like, say, your number one, Penn State, I haven't really seen them have very good receivers for the most part. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not having decent receivers, but the thing is, when you want like a big play receiver, you don't really see them going to Penn State anymore. And for Clifford, if he doesn't have like a go-to receiver, I think it's going to be pretty bad. I mean, the running game was decent, but it's just waiting to see what happens is a sad thing. And for Franklin, just watching him at Penn State, I mean, I know that, like Tyler said, the COVID year was a wash, but when you're looking at his record at Penn State, it feels like he's underachieved almost every year he's been there.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue that. Before we head on, got to ask, Michigan State obviously made a New Year's Six Bowl. It didn't seem like y'all are too high on Michigan State. I'm interested to hear what y'all have to kind of expand upon why you think Michigan State isn't going to return to a New Year's Six Bowl game or even really compete in the East.
All right, I'll go first. So the thing for me is last year when I was watching that game, because we can admit that Ohio State had a defensive liability last year, but I'm pretty sure by the end of the first quarter when we played them, we were up 21 or 28 to nothing or to 7. I mean, Mel Tucker, he's done a great job. I think he's coming into his second or third year now. He's starting to get the pieces into place, but it's just waiting to see how he's able to get them more involved. I mean, I'm curious to see how they do because there have been some years that Ohio State's had a great team and they've either lost to Penn State, to Michigan, or to Michigan State usually. Those have been the three teams in the Big Ten where when we've had a hiccup, that's where it's happened. Do I think we could be due for a hiccup? Possibly. Do I want it? No, and especially not from Michigan State because I think that they're going to do decent, but I don't know if they're going to be past 8-4, honestly.
Interesting. So obviously now I think it's pretty easy to kind of pick who's going to win the Big Ten. Tyler, we've kind of heard about what you had to say, having Nebraska losing to Ohio State. Alan, what's your prediction?
Yeah, I think Ohio State's going to win. I do like your pick. I'm not sure if Nebraska will be there. I'm going to do a dark horse. I'm going to say Iowa makes it to the championship game.
Interesting. Obviously.
I'm back in football and Jack Campbell. Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
So now moving on, Chris and Ty, you're kind of our Pac-12 experts. A lot of changes coming to the Pac-12. A lot of fun offseason, or I guess not fun for some, fun for not some, not for all though. Obviously USC making a splash, hire with Lincoln Riley, Oregon changing head coaches, Utah kind of the same. How do we look at the Pac-12 this year? Because it feels like there's just a bunch of teams that are like, maybe. How are we feeling about the Pac-12 this season?
Go ahead, Chris.
I think it's going to be a repeat of last year. I mean, the two best teams are still Oregon and Utah. I'm not going up to Utah based on just how they pushed around Oregon so bad in back-to-back meetings. But, you know, I think the good thing about this is we're going to know right away if this is worth taking seriously. I mentioned earlier Utah plays at Florida. Florida is not going to be very good this year. And if Utah goes down there and lays an egg, it's going to be the same old, well, the Pac-12 can't hang with the big boys, because that same weekend, Oregon is playing Georgia. Not a lot of people giving them a chance in that game either. So the optics of that would be pretty poor. I think that USC, with all those new weapons, I mean, that's pretty much transfer portal rebuilt overnight, you know, with the coach included. So I think that this, they still have a lot of deficiencies on defense. So I'm not ready to put USC back in the championship seat in that conference. I still think it's going to be Oregon and Utah. And the new format, it's one versus two. It's not going to matter, you know, because they're South and North divisions. But I think that's who you're going to see in Las Vegas again.
Tyler, what are your kind of rebuttals to that?
I mean, I think Chris nailed it. I think that the two best teams are Utah and Oregon. I actually think it's kind of sometimes it's one of those conferences you don't know. It's kind of like who's going to – it could be all over the place. But I really think it's Oregon and Utah with USC as the dark horse. I, like Chris said, I just think USC has too many deficiencies on the offensive line. They have a great player in Voorhees, but they don't have anyone else. If he gets injured, their offensive line's in really big trouble. On the defensive side of the ball, their front seven is not very deep. They still have a lot of issues in the linebacker group. I think they're going to struggle to stop the run. This was not a physical team. Obviously, they're bringing in a guy like Alex Grinch, but I still think it will take time to build the culture and get those players in the front seven. I think they will lose the more physical games to like teams like Notre Dame, to teams like Utah, maybe even like a team to like Oregon State, like I said when I was talking to you offline. And then Utah, I think Utah, now I have a pretty weird prediction, and I guess if we go to the playoffs at the end, I'll save it to that. I think Utah has a good team. They have probably the best returning quarterback in a guy like Cam Rising, the best running back in Tavion Thomas, a very experienced offensive line, a solid tight end core, guys like Clark Phillips in the defensive backfield. But Utah still does not get that baseline talent. So if you just look at the baseline talent that usually competes for the college football playoff, they are still outside that metric. And you see that at times. You saw that in 2019 when they played a team like Oregon. You saw that at times last year against Ohio State when they had a couple injuries and then they were not able to stop a guy like Jackson Smith and Ndigbo. I think that makes them susceptible to get upset. Like the first game of the season in the Swamp. Not a very good Florida team, but a team that Florida that does have athletes. And I actually have them losing that game. And I think it's going to be a kind of an upset. On the Ducks, Oregon has the best from just – if you're just going to go from a metric perspective, they have a top 10 roster. They have 60% blue chip players. They have – the best linebacker in college football and Noah Sewell. If Justin Flo is healthy, they have a top 10, top five type linebacker. They have an all Pac-12 guy and Brandon Dorlas coming back in the defensive line. And they have a defensive head coach. So I think the defensive side of the ball, they'll be good. They return all five starters on the offensive line. They return a pretty good running back in Byron Caldwell. They have a couple really good transfers and a guy like Marquise Irvin from Minnesota that rushed for just under 1,000 yards as a freshman. I think they're going to be a team that they just rely on the run and they rely on a very athletic defense. And I think that's going to pay dividends. I think they end up being a team that competes for the college football playoff this year. I do. I don't pick them to make it, but I think they have enough talent in that conference and all their tough games are at home. Utah's at home. UCLA's at home. Washington and Stanford, their divisional rivals, are at home. And the first game of the season really is the tough game for them. And I don't think they win, but I think it's a competitive game. I think it's more competitive than people would probably lay it out to be. But, yes, in the end, I do have Utah winning the conference over Oregon again. So that's my final prediction for the Pac-12.
Tyler, I kind of want to get your thoughts on the offense of Oregon, actually. Hiring Kenny Dillingham, a guy who coached the supposed starting quarterback in Bo Nix at Auburn, actually had statistically his best year his freshman year under Kenny Dillingham. He'll be calling the plays for his first time in his career. Where do you kind of see the ceiling for this Oregon offense?
I think it's a little higher than people give credit to because of the experienced offensive line and playing in the Pac-12. An experienced offensive line with talented guys like Marquise Irvin and Byron Caldwell, I think they'll be able to run the ball, which will then set up easy pass opportunities. And there is some talent in the wide receiver core. I hate to always say, well, this team has this much metric talent, but they do have a lot of talent from a baseline perspective. You go by recruiting rankings. I haven't seen it. I didn't see it. Now, I think Mario Cristobal was a horrible game planner on the offensive side of the ball. I'll go as much as say that. And I mean, Justin Herbert regressed, and now he's one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. By his senior year, people thought that they were ridiculous for drafting him number six, and now he's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. So I never saw the offensive fluidity when it came to his offenses. It was just kind of he wanted to lay on you. But I thought it was stale, and I just thought it lacked like kind of a fluidity. If Dillingham could just come in there and call a fluid game, you know, mix up tempo, mix up the paces, mix up the tempo, lean on the run game, and let Nick's do what he can do. He's a playmaker. He's a guy that will make mistakes, but he's a creative player. He has some dual threat ability. I think in the conference, I think that's going to be enough with a very good defense to win pretty much all their games other than like a Utah and Georgia. So, I think it's going to be pretty good. I think they're going to be a pretty solid team this year, and I think they're going to have a pretty solid offense.
It's funny you mentioned the Mario Cristobal thing. It's actually a running joke down here in the South that Mario Cristobal is one of the best coaches from Sunday to Friday. And then Saturday, he just kind of abandons post. Chris, I do want to get your opinions, though, on UCLA. We talked a lot about USC. But obviously, let's talk about the other LA school. Where do we kind of see this Chip Kelly-led team going this season?
You guys are breaking up really bad here. Did you say UCLA or USC?
UCLA.
Yeah, so they finally showed some life under Chip Kelly last year. Absolute beatdown, blowout win over USC. I would have liked to see them play that bowl against NC State and really see what they could have done. They have a really rare situation, a fifth-year starting quarterback in DDR, so I think the Chip, it's not going to be the, you know, the super fast tempo that he had at Oregon, but he's fought that team trending in the right direction. Unfortunately, it comes right at the time when UC is starting to finally pick itself up off the mat. And you still have the weird, you know, empty Rose Bowl crowds. That's not good right now. I think that as USC starts to gain momentum, UCLA, you know, especially after DTR graduates, they, you know, a bit of a stagnant situation. You know, I think they lost a lot. They lost Dulcich, great tight end, great weapon last year. They still got Charbonnet at running back, though, the transfer from Michigan. So, you know, I think that if they're going to strike while they can before USC really gains a lot of momentum, this is the year for them to do it. I still don't think that they're going to be anywhere near Utah's level and not even past USC. I think that they're a solid three in the Pac-12 South.
Interesting. So, boys, to wrap up the Pac-12 discussion, we have Tyler, we'll start with you. I assume it'll be Oregon versus Utah.
Yes, so I predict Oregon wins over Utah in the regular season, goes into the Pac-12 championship 11-1 with the playoff place on the line against a 10-2 Utah, and Utah beats them, and Utah ends up winning. The Pac-12 knocks the Ducks out of the playoffs, and Utah sneaks into the playoffs at 11-2. So that's my hot take.
Nice.
Tyler.
Yeah, go ahead,
Ryan. I think you're underselling Kalen DeBoer in Washington, though.
No, I don't think I am. they put Mike, first of all, he inherited a pretty bad culture. Second of all, he has Sam Heward, who is a five-star, yeah. And he has Dylan Morris, and yet he has to bring in a transfer quarterback in a very unpredictable – injury-prone Michael Penix, and Michael Penix wins the job. Sorry, Chris. I know that Washington is your alma mater, so I apologize. But I think they'll be better, definitely on the offensive side of the ball. I think DeBoer is a very good offensive coach. But then I think they lost a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball. I still think the fact that they're starting Michael Penix, I don't love that. I would rather it be Sam Heward or Morris. So what am I underselling them for? What for
I think they're gonna, you know, I can put up some points on the board. I don't
sky. It's a weird
situation. But who are they? Who are they beating?
I understand. They look, Jimmy look. Lake created him.
Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
I think the situation Chris with Penix and Heward, yes, I agree with you. I would have rather seen Sam Heward just take the job and run with it. But, I mean, I think it's a similar situation down in Eugene. You have Ty Thompson sitting behind Bo Nix, who also, you know, he doesn't have the injury problems like Penix, but he's been, you know, up and down with his career.
That's true.
I think what you're seeing is that Penix has been in DeBoer's before at Indiana and had, you know, that's the best Indiana has looked in my lifetime. And you could say the same with what Dillingham did with Nix his freshman year and what Dillingham did at Florida State with Jordan Travis. I mean, he looks like a completely rebuilt quarterback in 2021. So I think that's why you're seeing these weird transfer situations beating out five-star quarterbacks. I'm surprised. I mean, I understand why Heward's still there because he's a legacy kid. I'd be worried if I was Oregon, though, having Thompson sit another year. I'm actually interested to hear your thoughts on that, if we had time.
So you made a point. I totally forgot DeBoer was his offensive coordinator, and he was good that year. So you do make – I totally forgot about that. Now, he's had some serious injuries since then. I'm just worried that he's going to be that same player. But you're right. He actually did have some good moments, and that was DeBoer. I forgot about that. So Ty Thompson, so he will be – so even if he does not play this year, he, you know, he's a redshirt freshman, he still will have 3 years. What I've seen of Thompson in the little he played last year and in the spring game is he just lacks consistency. He's a little erratic. He has all the talent. He's big. He was a top 50 player, big arm, athletic guy, but he's just not consistent. And from what I've seen, I would take Nix. And obviously you just saw the spring game. I've saw clips from some of their scrimmages this year. And Nix is just more consistent, which is ironic because one of the gripes on Nix was that he could be a little erratic. He'd make some boneheaded plays. But Thompson, I'd just be worried about right now just making some really – especially early in the season against a team like Georgia or even against a BYU. Oregon does have to play BYU, who's pretty good. I would just be worried about Thompson making some mistakes. Now, I think he'd be solid if Nix goes down injured. But I don't know where Thompson would go because it's honestly his play. And you'd know Heward more. So what's stopping Heward from taking the reins? This was a top 15 player. This was a consensus five star.
Yeah, I think that the damage done by John Donovan, his first, you know, college experience was just more than we can, you know, fathom, because he looked totally gun shy and just not ready to take the reins when they put him in finally in the Apple Cup, and it was a blowout loss. You know, I don't know what that did to his confidence. I really think with like both QB situations, it's merely the familiarity between the offensive coordinators and the quarterback. That's why you're seeing these guys still start. I think Heward's still going to get it. Like you said, Penix is so injury prone. He would get on the field at some point, and I think the sooner the better, especially under, you know, a QB guy like DeBoer. You know, I'm interested to see what he's able to do with him at QB.
Absolutely. So now let's kind of move on to the ACC. Ryan, you're our ACC expert. Is Clemson back? Is Clemson, you know, after a terrible 10-2 season, a Cheez-It Bowl win, obviously just an awful season in the eyes of Clemson. What are they going to look like this year? Are they still the top dog of the ACC, or are we going to start seeing a Florida State, a Miami, possibly even a North Carolina State creep up?
I mean, everybody's looking at Devin Leary. I don't know. I mean, is DJ going to come back? Or is this Aid Kubnik? I think his name, five-star. Like you said, 10-2, and you think the roof is falling in on Clemson. But Georgia's defense last year, I think Clemson's defense coming back this year,
that line, I mean, no one's going to be able to run the ball on that line. You know, so it's just, you're going to, you know, 21 plus points a game, you know they're going to be okay, you know. I think just last year, that 10-3 weird loss at Georgia was a pick six. It just kind of down, you know, for DJ Mulea, you know, so we'll see where they go from there. But like the ACC, I just look at the quarterbacks in this conference. You know, I mean, where do you rank them? You know, you have Kevin Solvis, just named quarterback. You have Sam Hartman. I know he's in mysterious injury field, you know, the type of numbers he put up. Malik Cunningham, Brennan Armstrong, you know, Jordan Travis, we talked about him. I know Kenny Dingham's got quite the athlete back there. So, I mean, that's when I look at ACC, you know, which of these quarterbacks is going to step up? I mean, you could probably say that is probably the 11th or 12th best quarterback in that conference, and he could be, you know, being an NFL starting quarterback because he's got that type of arm talent, you know. Which one of these quarterbacks is going to really step up is, you know, and their team going to step up around them is where I do pick Clemson and, you know, in their side, you know, and I'm going to, you know, Miami and the other. I know we talked about Cristobal not being a great game day coach, but the amount of talent they've assembled, Manny Diaz wasn't, you know, playing around either recruiting wise. He was bringing in talent too. I think kind of that a mysterious pick would be that, you know, if I know Clemson's state, you know, if they can hold serve there at home, I think it's, you know, their side of the conference. But I mean, maybe this is Florida State's year, you know, we'll see. You know, I'm not quite sure.
So, yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Florida State. You know, let's kind of talk about the state of Florida right now. Who do we kind of see coming out, I guess, on top of the Florida Cup, as we lovingly call it, but between the ACC schools, you know, are we looking at Miami? Do we think Mike Norvell possibly, if he has a 5-7 season again, will he be on the chopping block? Where do we kind of feel about the Florida schools in the ACC?
I got a bully, and I mean, pressure's over, you know. you know, we'll see, you know, against Duquesne, but, you know, I'm really circling that game next, you know, Sunday night, and down in New Orleans to see really how Florida State's going to play against LSU. I think the ACC, Miami, and Florida State coming down to seeing who wins that side of the conference. But I just think a great quarterback. You know, I think, you know, the experience he got last, and he's got weapons around him, so I like to, you know, that's going to come up on that side of the conference.
Absolutely, Ryan. We got to know who's winning the ACC this year. Who's going to be in the championship? Who's winning this thing?
I go, you know, Clemson over my. I think, you know, it'd be, you know, offense versus. Like I said, Clemson. You know, that defense, you know, what they bring back, you know, and they do, you know, Shipley's a great running back for Clemson. You know, as long as they could see them, you know, really taking hold. And I don't know if they're a playoff team, but I definitely baseline for Clemson, and hopefully maybe 11-1, you know, to maybe to get into the playoffs this year. But, you know, I'm not going to, you know, throw away, you know, Clemson does, you know, Sam Hartman, you know, that could be a trip up game for Clemson on that side of the conference. I'm still going to stick with Clemson over Miami and all said and done.
I got you. I will say Phil Dracovic, buy stock now. Big fan of the Boston College quarterback starting his career at Notre Dame. We'll transition on now to the Big 12, a conference sometimes people forget about, but Alan, being our conference expert there, I got to ask, is Texas back? Are they back?
I would say that if they're not, I would say they're working their way back. I know that they have a top running back in college football, and I believe Thompson is his name. And when I looked at Texas, yes,
Robinson.
That's right. My apologies. But the thing I noticed is 2 days ago, Sarkisian named the Ohio State transfer Quinn Ewers as a starting quarterback. That's the one thing that I've noticed this year for a lot of quarterbacks that transferred out of the Big Ten. No matter what conference they've gone to, they become the starters. Because you already highlighted about Penix as well. And I think that West Virginia, their quarterback, I think went from either Ohio State or a different state. But the Big 12, it just feels like this year it's rebuilding for a lot of the schools there. Because, I mean, I want to say there are two or three coaches at least that are in their second year. Because I wasn't it a Baylor's coach, Arenado?
He's heading into his third year. He's heading into his third
Aranda.
Okay. I know that I'm more curious to see how Oklahoma is this year with Venables taking over, because even though he doesn't have a lot of the players that kind of jump ship to USC and other places, I still think that Oklahoma is going to be a pretty big contender. That's why the Red River rivalry this year, that's going to be probably one of the biggest games to the Big 12. Unfortunately, I'm not really seeing them as a contender for the playoff this year. I think that with just the rebuilding that a lot of the schools are going to have to do, I'm more looking at, say, the top four teams I'm looking at in the conference right now is Baylor, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and Texas. Because some of the other schools that are there, like West Virginia, Kansas State, I think that they could compete, but I just don't see them being at the top right now. And until I really see any improvement, I can't really see Kansas being at the bottom, because right now they just haven't shown anything in the past few years. But if it's going to be either Texas, Oklahoma, or Oklahoma State. I mean, I do want Baylor, but I think for the Big 12 championship, if we're looking at that, I'm going to say it's going to be Texas. And I'm going to go for a little bit of a sleeper. I will pick Baylor just because Mike Gundy, even though he does well in a lot of big games, he always has one game that right near the end of the year sometimes will be a choke for him. I mean, if they make it, that would be great, but I can't see it. I think Venables, he's going to have enough talent with what he has there that he's going to win the Big 12. I don't think they're going to make the playoff, but I do think that they're going to be able to make a dent in how the Big 12 is going to be for the next few years.
Interesting. So I'm curious, though, you know, mentioning the Texas and Oklahoma, obviously they're transitioning into the SEC in the next 2 years. No one really knows when they're actually leaving, but right now it sounds about 2 years. Who do you think is better equipped heading into the SEC, into a very football-centric conference?
Well, that's tough because I mean,
too small.
Well, the thing is, for Texas, Sarkisian, he was able to do well at USC, so he already knows how the recruiting is for the entire nation. But Venables at Oklahoma, he's been a recruiter so long, I think that he will have more connections around the entire nation. So I think in the end, Oklahoma is probably going to be the better recruiters, but I think Texas is going to be probably right on their heels.
Interesting, interesting. So you said you had Oklahoma winning the conference, correct?
I do.
Interesting. Marking that down. Now, obviously, this is the fun part. Who's going to the playoffs? Tyler, we'll start with you, then we'll go Alan, Ryan, then Chris. Who do we have in the playoffs, and who's winning this thing?
Let's say, so I kind of outlined my crazy scenario, so I got to break it down, make it feasible, and make it sense. So I have Alabama, number one, 13-0. They easily win the SEC. I have number two, Ohio State. They're also 13-0. I'm pretty – pretty breeze through the Big Ten, smash Nebraska in the Big Ten championship. Number three, I have 12-1 Clemson. I do think they trip up. I did my prediction somewhere. I forgot what game specifically I had to trip it up on, but I have them playing against Miami and they win the ACC championship. I think the Big 12, because kind of what Alan mentioned, I just think there's a lot of teams that either lost a lot or you're Brett Venables, you got a new coaching staff, you had a lot of guys transfer out, you have Texas is always Texas, you have Baylor lost a lot of really good players, Oklahoma State lost their defensive coordinator. I actually, believe it or not, I'm probably going to kick myself for this. I have a 10-3 Texas somehow winning it. I don't know why. Because Texas is a team that might end up going 4-8 and firing Sarkisian and hiring, I don't know, who's Alabama's offensive coordinator? Bill O'Brien. Yeah, they hire Bill O'Brien to take over. But then I have the Pac-12, and I kind of laid out my scenario. I have Utah losing to Florida in the opening week, but then I have them and then losing to Oregon late in the season. And then I have Oregon being 11-1 versus 10-2 Utah. So Utah beats Oregon, and they finish 11-2. So if you're hearing my scenario here, at this point, you have Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson. Who is number four? Is it 11-2 Georgia that loses in the SEC championship? Is it a 10-3 Texas? Is it 11-2 Utah that wins the Pac-12 championship? I say Utah. I saw Utah backdoors it in there. And then I have Alabama beating them by like 70 points in the first half and 100 in the end. And then Ohio State gives Clemson a good old butt whooping like a couple years ago. And then it's Ohio State versus Alabama. I want to pick the upset. Oh, I do. Ohio State gets back. They beat them. They upset Alabama. And they win the national title. CJ Stroud wins the Heisman and the national title.
Interesting. Loving that Heisman pick. Loving that Heisman pick. Not so fond about the championship, though. Alan, we'll transition to you. What are you thinking about? Who's winning it all for you?
Well, I don't know if you saw my shirt, but needless to say, I do like what Tyler's predicting. I mean, I agree Alabama's going to win the SEC. Ohio State should win the Big Ten. I do think Clemson should win the ACC. And the fourth school, like Tyler said, is going to be a tough one. I'm gonna stay with him, and I will go for a Pac-12 champion making it to the playoff. Except, I think Oregon's going to be able to pull it off. I think Oregon's going to run through the Pac-12, and they're going to make. And even if they do have the hiccup, like you said, Tyler, I think they'll be able to reclaim their win in the Pac-12 championship game. Now, I do think that Alabama will play Oregon, and I don't think that's going to go very well, honestly. I'm not going to say it's going to be by 100, but I'd say it could be by, we'll say 55. How about that? I do hope that we do have the repeat for Ohio State and Clemson where we win by 10. I'd be okay with 10. But then Alabama and Ohio State, that would be a good game. I have to pick my Buckeyes. I mean, as much as I would pick Alabama, I have to pick my Buckeyes. And I do think, like Tyler said, I do think CJ Stroud is going to win the Heisman. If he does not, though, I'm curious to see where Will Anderson's going to end up at the end of the year. What if he's going to be second or third? Because he was close last year. If anyone since Charles Woodson could win it, I would say he's got the best chance.
Absolutely. Very good takes, Alan, there. Ryan, where are we feeling? Who's winning it all this year?
I mean, well, I will start with that. We've all hit that in the head. You know, number two, Clemson, because I do think they're going to go 11-1, 12-0. Number four, I'm going to go off the board, Houston.
Wow.
It's a bold take. Bold prediction for sure.
Fire team, and I think, you know, I think they could run the table in the best group of five. Clayton Tune is, you know, high flying quarterback. I think, Dan Holgorsen, I think they're going to do it.
Bold take there for sure. Who do you have winning the whole thing?
I have Alabama would be beating Houston, and then I have Ohio State beating Clemson, Alabama winning it all.
Less interesting bold. There. Bold. Very bold of you. Chris, where what's happening this year? Is Washington winning it all this year?
Man. Party like it's 1991, right? No, stop me if you've heard this before. Alabama and Georgia are making the playoff. I got both of them going back. Third team, not in this order. I do think Ohio State's going to run the table. They're going to be undefeated. So let's say 1-2 to Alabama and Ohio State. Third team will be Georgia. And piggyback off what Ty said, I got Utah as that fourth team. And the way it's going to come down to the wire with them in Oregon, I think, the winner is assuming that things shake out, they don't cannibalize themselves in the Pac-12 like they always do. But I got Utah as that fourth team, and Ohio State winning the whole thing. That is just an absurd offensive firepower on that team right now.
Interesting. Yeah, Ohio State's definitely been a popular pick here for the crew here. Personally, for me, I got Alabama number one. Well, actually, excuse me, Ohio State number one. I think Ohio State goes undefeated 13-0. I think Bama slips up against Arkansas. They'll be 12-1. I think they actually beat Georgia, which kicks Georgia out of the playoffs. I think Georgia will have at least one loss at that point. We'll probably be around 4. Them losing to Bama will kick them out of the contention. I think Utah honestly goes undefeated, but because of strength of schedule, I think Alabama will stay in front of them in all the rankings. And then I have a bold one here. I think Baylor makes it in. I'm high on Baylor. A lot of people haven't been talking about them. Big Dave Aranda guy. I think Dave Aranda, if he doesn't stay at Baylor, I could see him bolting for a big-time NFL job or even getting a big-time college football job. But at the end of the day, I got Ohio State versus Alabama in the championship, and I got to roll the tide here. Just too much talent there. But it will be an offensive juggernaut of a game, 55-50 type game. But it'll definitely be a fun one that I would love to see. My Heisman winner, I got, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, Cam Rising. I think Cam Rising wins it. The long-haired Wow. assassin from Utah will win the thing for him, and he will bring glory to Utah forever. They'll build a statue outside of the stadium for him. It'll be a glorious sight to behold. That's my bold prediction. Obviously, we're going to closing it out here. Tyler, Allen, Ryan, we'll kind of start with Tyler. Where can we find you? Are you on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram? Where can we find you?
Yeah, check out. I'm a Sportscast contributor. Check me out at Turner at Sports. Tyler Turner at Sportscast. I think it's at Sportscast or something like that. I would have to hold on. Give me 1 second.
It's at Turnercast.
At Turnercast. Thank you.
There we go.
Tells you how often I look at my Twitter handles. Yeah, check it out. I do articles. Most of the thing that I'd like you guys to check out is my team talent formula. I know West Coast, thank you. You guys have shared it before on your page. That's a baseline talent. It's very similar to the team talent composite by 247 Sports. I don't use the Gastonian distribution formula with the bell curve. I use just a more basic formula. But the good thing about it is I keep it, I do the formula right after signing day, and I go all the way basically into the middle of the season. So it's more of an active. You can see if there's a lot of people transferring. And also, hey, they have a top 100 guy. They have 5 top 100 guys out for the season with injuries. You can subtract that from, and you can see how their roster talent goes down. It's been pretty accurate. It's been pretty similar to the team talent composite, actually, when you look at the numbers. So, yeah, check it out, and check me out at the TurnerCast.
Absolutely. Alan, where can we find you at?
I have Instagram at alan.west.46, and I do need to log back into my Twitter. It's only been about 7 years, but it's at Alan F. West.
Absolutely. Ryan, where can we find you at?
Mad Dog Report and Sportscast. I host a show. We're kind of in the summer break here with tonight. No former Alabama basketball star Irwin Dudley. So we host a basketball show on Sunday. So we'll be kicking that off, again here pretty soon. But support on Twitter.
Absolutely, Chris. Least, but last but not obviously least, where can we find you at?
All right. SouthernGentlemanSports.com, WestCoastCollegeFootball.com for some of my articles, and on Twitter at NoelCore, N-O-L-E-C-O-R-E.
Awesome. I'm Garrett Franks. You can follow me at Garrett_Franks right there. I'm sports director at WVUA-FM Student Radio here at the University of Alabama. Support your student media. And obviously, you can follow us on Twitter at SportsCast1. Visit our website to see contributor writers like Tyler and Ryan at thesportscast.net. Make sure to check out our show throughout the week. This is Garrett Franks, and have a good one, fellas.